Epilogue. Elias. 3 months later. A warm breeze blows through the great waste, carrying with it the faint scent of the coming spring. It whispers through the hills, rustling the thorny plants and tugging at my cloak, seeming to pull me away from Tarsinium and toward the vast unexplored wilderness beyond. Never thought I'd live to see the day, I muse as I stare out at the barren hills. This truly is the dawn of a new era. Behind me, the sun has just crested the horizon, bathing the world in the golden light of morning, and all around me settlers have begun their long trek eastward, pulling wagons and horses laden with supplies. The time has finally come to reclaim our ancestral homeland. The long-awaited exodus has arrived. For a moment I simply stand, watching the procession with mixed emotions. Then, sighing, I straighten and place a hand on my belt knife, a rustic addition to my crisp uniform. The old thing is the same as it's always been, plain and unadorned, with a well-worn handle and a quality steel blade from the smithies of Yaren. It's served me well in my years fighting on the frontiers of Tarsinium. Somehow, after everything that's happened, it doesn't feel right leaving it behind. I begin making my way down the rise, my honor guards falling into step behind me, halberds resting on their armor-plated shoulders. Talon marches among them, his unruly black hair already slicked to his forehead with sweat. Even at this early hour, the heat of the day is upon us, the sun baking the wastes like an oven. The soldiers mutter their complaints. Talon's the loudest of them all, but I remain silent, my mind occupied on other things.
"Hotter than the Prince of Darkness's bollocks out here," he remarks crudely. This makes the other men snicker. "No wonder those demon bastards were trying so hard to get inside the Ark. They were sick of being cooked."
We make our way through a series of ravines, joining one of the many caravans navigating the unforgiving landscape. Those we pass bow their heads in deference, offering blessings and honorifics. I accept their words politely, yet stoically, still uncomfortable with the way they're treating me. It wasn't long ago that I was a traitor and a prisoner, I think, genuinely perplexed. The light sure seems to have a sense of humor. The ravine lets out in a wide, dusty basin, its edges ringed by steep bluffs of red and orange. Many of the settlers have set up a camp here, stopping to rest and repair their wagons. A scout spots me and hurries over, his eyes alight with excitement.
"My lord," he exclaims breathlessly, adjusting his sword and bowing low. "It's here! We finally found it!"
My eyebrows shoot up, betraying my surprise. "Are you certain?"
"Yes," he replies, nodding eagerly. "I haven't seen that much sourced crystal in my entire life. It must be the right place."
Talon and I look at each other. He seems both excited and apprehensive at the news, a feeling that I share. My mouth suddenly feels very dry. "Where is it?" I ask, voice overly gruff. He points.
"Just over there, my lord. It isn't far. A half-hour hike at most."
I stare in that direction a long moment before clearing my throat. "Take me." He bows again and leads me to another ravine, my honor guards following closely behind. It's a narrow, rocky path choked with thorns, but unlike my companions, I have the experience of a seasoned ranger. I manage the terrain with little difficulty, my thoughts focused on what lies ahead. True to the scout's estimation, the journey only takes a half hour. We soon find ourselves in an area that looks to have been hit by a storm. Black streaks scar the ground in many places, and every scrub and thorny bush seems to have been torn from its roots by tremendous force. Ahead, there's a shattered hill, a great mound that appears to have collapsed in on itself. Scattered amidst the debris are thousands of tiny crystal shards, the destroyed remnants of a much larger source crystal. They catch the sunlight and glitter like a field of diamonds, creating a beautiful and terrible display. It radiates power, The very air seems to vibrate with an otherworldly aura, giving it an oddly sacred feeling.
11 bloody hells, Talon murmurs, his face uncharacteristically somber. This looks like Zara's work all right.
This is the place, I confirm, voice barely above a whisper. Thank you for finding it, soldier.
The scout doesn't respond. I hesitantly approach the sundered hill, my feet gaining confidence with every step. When my honor guards begin to follow, I wave them back.
Stay here, I command. I won't be long.
They look at one another uncertainly.
My lord, one of them says, it could be dangerous.
Please, I ask, though it comes out like a growl. I must do this alone.
They step back and wait at the mouth of the ravine without further argument. Taking a deep breath, I continue forward, making my way toward the epicenter of the magical confluence. The closer I get, the more treacherous the ground becomes, and before long I'm forced to clamber on all fours, the fractured boulders too loose to trust standing upright. My eyes scan everything as I go, looking for any sign of life, even though deep down I know that it's pointless. Nothing could have survived this explosion. Eventually I make it to the center of the hill, a crater surrounded by glittering crystal fragments and jagged, uneven stones. Sweat drips from my face, and my breaths come in shallow gasps. My heartbeat quickens, and not just from the exertion of climbing. This is where it happened, I think as I stand atop the ruined hill. This is where they died. I look around, sorrowing at the totality of the destruction.
I'm not sure what I was expecting when I sent the scouts to find this place, I say aloud, speaking to no one in particular. I knew exactly what I'd find when I got here.
I nudge a loose stone with my boot and send it tumbling into the crater.
You made quite a mess of this place, Seeker. I think the High Magus would have approved. Ignis, your old Cabal friend, is helping to rebuild the city. He's a magister of the Circle now, a position he never thought he'd have.
A sad smile tugs at the corner of my mouth, and for a moment I think of Zara, the dauntless young mage with the unconquerable spirit.
I found your father, you know. He's alive and well, rebuilding the ruins of Green Harbor. He tried to find you before the end, but he was too late. By the time he discovered where you were already gone. I spent quite a bit of time with him over the last few months, filling him in on the details of everything you accomplished. Benjamin Dennell is very proud of the daughter you turned out to be.
I continue, feeling a sense of pride for the girl myself.
It was your spell that saved us all. Your name will be known by every mage from now until the end of time. I'll make sure of it.
My mind drifts to Owen, my fearless apprentice, and in many ways, my son.
You protected her with your life, and always did what you believed was right.
A memory sparks, and my smile widens.
I remember when you first became my apprentice. You were like a fledgling eagle, so timid, yet so determined to fly. If you hadn't warned us about the R'hllar in the face of all the opposition, we would all be dead. We owe you our lives as well.
For an instant, I falter, my smile fading. The memories now flooding my mind threaten to smother me, but I take a shuddering breath. Somehow, talking helps me to feel better.
The war came at a terrible cost, I go on. The kingdom is in tatters, but we survived. The demons are no longer a threat, and now we can resettle, rebuild what was lost. That's more than any of us could have dared to hope.
A small breeze rushes over the hill, ruffling the hair not held in place by the iron circlet on my head.
They made me protector of all Tarsinium, you know. With everything that happened, they were looking for a leader. I was the only one left.
me and Tamara. The two of us married, so that makes her my right hand, though I doubt the ladies in the court will ever see her wearing a dress.
This causes my smile to return, the thought of my wife warming my troubled heart.
It was a small ceremony in the ashwood. I think you would have liked it. Before I left, some of the trees were starting to bloom.
I glanced back to my honor guards standing reverently at the mouth of the ravine. They pointedly avoid my gaze, their heads bowed as if in prayer. Looking back to the crater, I sigh. Something catches my attention, a glint of what looks like metal half buried in the dirt. Without thinking, I leap from my perch, skidding over shattered stones to the bottom of the depression. Kneeling, I scrape away the loose soil to reveal a badly damaged weapon covered in soot.
A hatchet.
My breath catches in my throat as I stare down at the broken shaft. Rubbing the dust away from the head, I can see wind-blown leaves etched into the steel.
It's still there, I think, dumbfounded. Light almighty, Owen's hatchet.
They said that I was a hero, I say in a broken whisper. When they placed this crown on my head, they thanked me for saving them. But they had no idea. No idea that you and Zara were the real heroes. The ones who saved the world. My vision grows blurry as a single tear rolls down my cheek, landing soundlessly on the thirsty ground. It all becomes too much to bear, the memories, the regrets.
I should have done more,
I say bitterly, blinking furiously to fight back the tears. I should have been there for you as your master.
Light, I should have treasured every moment we had together.
I cradle the hatchet like a treasure of immeasurable worth. The wood is charred, but the metal remains whole. With effort, it can shine again. It can be restored.
I'll not let your sacrifice go to waste. I'll not let you be forgotten. I'll fight the rest of my life to protect the realms of men. I'll unite everyone together in a new age of peace. This I swear as my new ranger's oath.
A warm feeling comes over me. A small but reassuring voice enters my mind, speaking comforting words. I know that I should be surprised by its presence, but I feel like it's been with me all along.
They are happy. They are together.
The tears fall more freely now, my heart pounding as the light speaks to my very soul.
They are at peace.
For a moment, I'm overcome with emotion. I kneel in the crater, mourning my young friends, but not alone. Finally, after I regain control, I get to my feet, holding the pieces of the hatchet gently in my hands. Sparing one final glance at their resting place, I turn and slowly make my way back to the ravine. Talon is the first to approach me, his expression concerned.
Are they, you know, are there any remains?
I shake my head.
None that I could see. Whatever happened, it didn't leave any traces. Except for this.
I hold out the pieces of the hatchet. Talon's eyes widen, and for a moment he looks as if he might cry. Then, swallowing, he forces a small grin.
Never was one for subtlety, that Owen. Always knew that he'd go out with a bang.
Light, I'm going to miss him.
Me too, Talon, I reply. Me too. The rest of the honor guards gather around us.
Did you find what you were looking for?
The scout asks gently. Glancing back at the ruined hill, I nod.
Yes, in a way. Now, let's get back to the caravans. Our people need us.
Yes, Lord Protector.
We begin the long hike back, the aura of reverence clinging to us like a shield of radiant magic.
As we depart, I notice one final oddity on a nearby patch of ground. A small sprig of green grass sprouting from the dry, cracked earth. The plant is little more than a weed, a spindly, knotted seedling with barely any leaves. And yet it's the only living thing not resembling the bristles and thorny flora east of the Emberwood as far as I can tell. It seems to reach for the sunlight, embodying hope and life and resiliency in its tiny stem. Seeing it brings a smile to my lips, and when it finally disappears from view, I find myself looking forward to seeing what the future holds. Yes, I think, my soul feeling lighter. This is truly the dawn of a new era.